And today's Capital Report is brought to you by Truscott Rossman and the Michigan Health and Hospital Association. You talk to an employer, the first thing they're going to say is, my biggest problem is finding enough people, finding employees, finding talent. And when you say, well, what do they say? Why can't you land them? And they'll more often than not say they're having difficulty finding quality and affordable health child care. I keep making that mistake. But it's a child care issue. They want to make sure that the kids are safe and in a good place, but they don't want to pay three quarters of their salary. It doesn't make much sense to go into the workforce if you're going to be paying it all to the child care provider. This is front and center with our friends, the Small Business Association of Michigan. We welcome in Brian Calley, the president and CEO, who has taken this message to his former colleagues in Lansing. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Guy, and thanks for taking on this really important issue. It's such a central facet for younger workers in the workforce, especially women workers in the workforce, to have affordable, reliable, confident child care available. And when there are shortages like we've seen, and there have been shortages growing over time, we saw it really exacerbate during the pandemic. It holds down that labor force participation rate. It holds down people from advancing in their careers. It holds down the economy here in Michigan.
So how pervasive, and is it more about affordability or more about accessibility?
Well, it really is a mixture of both. So you have some folks where it just doesn't make sense for them to get into the workforce, given the cost of childcare compared to the what they can make in the workforce. But also, even those who can afford it, just the flat-out availability of it is lacking. And, you know, there's been a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel in the governor's efforts over the last couple of years, with some legislative efforts, too, to work on both the supply and the demand side of this equation. So helping people that need help and paying for childcare, but then also helping providers to expand. So just when we're starting to turn the corner, just when we're starting to kind of claw our way back from the shortage creating that was exacerbated during the pandemic, we have a couple of proposals coming out of this year's budget that would stop that progress in its tracks. In fact, reverse it and make the problem perhaps worse than it's ever been.
Brian, you know, many private child care providers are minority and female own businesses. What are some specific challenges that these groups face, and how might this proposed budget changes further impact these groups?
Yeah, that's actually quite insightful too. So not only is this an industry that is dominated by nonprofits and small businesses, it's dominated by women-owned small businesses and minority women-owned small businesses. So these are really the types of businesses that should be held up more than across the board with the small business community. And so this is just so important. What's being proposed in the legislature is to remove a 30% threshold that has been for many, many years in the state budgets, say, of the Great Start Readiness Program, preschools for four-year-olds. 30% is for community-based organizations. They might be nonprofits, your local YMCA, local small business, and it eliminates that 30%. Instead, all of the money runs through the local school district. So literally just cutting out small businesses, nonprofits, and community-based organizations from the system altogether. That's being proposed in the House of Representatives. On the Senate side, what they're proposing is to require these small businesses and nonprofits to adhere to local school union contracts with respect to what their pay and benefits have to be. And while, of course, everybody wants to offer better pay and benefits to their employees, these local childcare providers are not receiving $11,000 to $20,000 per pupil from the state for their overall services. And they have to provide services after school and before school and outside of regular business hours. You know, these are the sorts of things where if you require for all of that local child care providers to adhere to local school union contracts, it literally will either put them out of business or require them to jack up the prices so much that there's no way that their local families could afford it. And so these two things are both causing big problems. And really the solution is for them to just accept the governor's proposed budget. The governor's proposed budget got it right. The governor's proposed budget was making advancements. It was becoming more affordable with the help, the direct assistance to families who needed childcare, and it was having a great success, and literally hundreds of childcare operations over the last year had started to expand their offerings and availabilities. We don't want to stop that progress, and so we're asking the legislature to put the brakes on the changes that they're looking to make and support the governor's proposal.
Brian, my daughter goes to a private childcare center run by a woman, and she's the best. We love her so much. And so that would be devastating if she couldn't run her business anymore. What is the flip side of this? Why propose these changes? Do you know?
Well, I think that there's it's a complex issue, but mainly they're looking at kind of a simple transaction saying, look, schools are set up to provide care to kids. And so on the House side, they just think schools are better suited, and schools should do all of it, and the local organizations should be cut out of it. The problem, and the thing that's just difficult to grasp, is how they don't understand that schools don't offer services throughout the entire workday. Schools don't offer services, at least not for the entire student body, do not offer services year-round. There's times when there's teacher in service days, there's 2 weeks off in at Christmas time, and things that just don't meet the regular work schedule. You can't just hand this over to schools unless you're going to ask schools to drastically change the hours that they're operating and when services are provided. And also, by the way, who they provide services to. This is one of the things that we think is just not penetrating in the system, is that if you were to take four-year-olds, the Great Start Readiness Program, out of nonprofits and small businesses and say, look, you're not going to do this anymore, it's all going to go to schools, it undermines the sustainability of those businesses.
Right.
So they're not available for kids that are 0 to 3 years old, not available for 4-year-olds after the Great Start Readiness Program each day, not available to the other kids that need childcare before or after traditional school. This really, it challenge is not just about 4-year-olds and Great Start Readiness. It undermines the sustainability, the operation, the longevity, and the ability to survive for the entire childcare system.
Well, and we needed to be flexible because the nature of work has changed. Parents are home more days, and then they're away more days. So they're not signing 5-day-a-week contracts with childcare providers or things like that. And also, the work day has changed. Some folks come in early and stay late so they can work just that 2 days a week in the office. We need a flexible system that is providing service to everybody and allowing them to have that kind of flexibility. Brian, we thank you so much for being on Capital Report this morning.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Brian Kallick, Small Business Association of Michigan. When we come back, it's really a new day when it comes to the Wayne County Sheriff's Department, a new Justice Center, so many new things coming along, and also an increased attention to quality of life issues in precincts. So how has that changed law enforcement when you're getting down into the quality of life issues of the people that you're serving? We'll talk live with Sheriff Washington. He's in the house next on JR Morning.